The hyperbole is done. Now we can finally play the game.
Look at that. Oh, my goodness. One man. Goodbye. Hello, Haskins. Intercepted by Teague. George Teague to the end zone. Touchdown. We're going to play football. Yippee. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown. Ball goes into the end zone, and it is incomplete. Hold the phone, everybody. There's a penalty flag thrown, and I think it's against Miami. The royalty of college football is in assembly at the Rose Bowl 2006.
Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable 2014 College Football Week 11 show, brought to you by www.southbeachshopping.com, the online shopping network at the Philly Press Box Radio College Football Network. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partners, college football national expert Terry House, and Penn State and Big Ten expert in the tackle on the 1994 Penn State offense, considered by many as the greatest offense in the history of college football. The Goon, Keith Conlon. Welcome back, gentlemen.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
What up, boys? How are you? Sound a little bit better.
Doing great. Hey, by the way, Keith, happy birthday, my friend.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, happy birthday, buddy.
Yep, 28 all over again.
28 all over. Hey, we even brought Keith Jackson in to celebrate this week, to get a little Keith Jackson time for your birthday.
Love it. I got a great Keith Jackson for you.
Scored
one of our touchdowns in the Rose Bowl, and where, you know, the offense is running off the field. He's like, that's just big people running over little people right there. They've been running that place since a man named Rockin' has been walking the sideline.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful. He's the best, no doubt about it. All right. Well, our www.south-beach-shopping.com, that's South Beach Shopping, phone lines will be open at 929-477-2855, so feel free to call throughout the show. All opinions are welcome, but please be respectful of other people's opinions. Well, fellas, college football, you know, it certainly didn't disappoint again this weekend. Still two remaining unbeaten. Number one Mississippi State, number two Florida State. Both are probably playing their toughest opponent this week. Mississippi State travels to Tuscaloosa to play Alabama, while Florida State is going to travel to a much improved Miami. So we'll talk about those games a little bit as we make our picks. But Alabama will likely be number four when the polls come out here in a few minutes, and behind Oregon, it will slide up after Auburn lost to Texas A&M. So we'll have about 25 minutes, and we'll talk some about that. But, Keith, before we start on those, let's talk Penn State. It wasn't pretty, but, you know, when you've lost four in a row, you go on the road to Indiana and win a game. One game closer to becoming bowl eligible. We'll take it. What was your take on the game?
Well, it's the same thing over week after week. But the only difference was this week they actually pulled a W out of it, get the W out of it in Indiana. Tough game. Again, Penn State did not play well. They did not play. Their defense obviously stole the show. I mean, the defense actually pitched a shutout because Hackenberg threw a pick six. I'm getting tired of talking about how bad and how not I shouldn't say they played bad this week, because they had Diffenbach come back in and play a couple downs here at guard. They put some drives together. Still not good enough for me, but they are getting better. And, you know, tough challenge this week, so we're going to see how it ends up. The Temple Owls are coming to town. But, you know, you're on the road. You got to get a victory. They went out and did that. I mean, it wasn't pretty. They haven't had many pretty wins this year, so I'll take it. One more win away from a bowl game. So we'll see where we're going to end up.
Yeah, I think the stats on that game, and Terry, you might get into this, but I think the stats on the game got a little misleading because Penn State had the 92-yard run that made the rushing numbers look a little more reasonable than they really were.
Yeah, Bill, that Not 92 yards will do that for you, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it was, yeah, the discrepancy between the two teams, I mean, you're looking at 500 total yards between both teams in comparison to maybe some of the other games that we saw where Auburn and I think they had in Texas A&M, they put up over 1,000 yards, and we'll get into that later. But defensive struggle, obviously, Penn State's defense was great once again, as Keith pointed out. They only gave up 221 yards in this game. You know, the quarterback for Indiana, the true freshman, really struggled. Hasn't thrown the ball well, you know, since he's been inserted in that lineup. Indiana's really struggled, you know, now that their quarterback, Sudfeld, is out for the year. You know, they just couldn't really put anything together. Coleman, their very productive running back, obviously had tough sledding against Penn State's defense, which is to be expected because they are one of the best defenses in the Big Ten, and they might be one of the best defenses in the country when you really get down to it, when you look at their numbers. It's going to be an interesting game as we're going to talk about Temple and Penn State because both those defenses are very good, especially at keeping teams out of the end zone. Their points per game are actually up there in the top tier of the NCAA. So very good defensive game here for Penn State. Hackenberg, once again, you know, struggled 12 of 29, 168 yards, two more interceptions. So in the last five games, that's three touchdowns and seven interceptions now. Really having a difficult time. We've all obviously gushed over him in terms of his physical abilities, and rightfully so. The kid's just, you know, uberly talented. He's an amazing prospect. But, you know, over the course of the last 5 or 6 weeks, he's just really, really, really struggled, and for many reasons. But Penn State, like you guys said, good win. You know, when you go on the road, I don't care who you're playing. And in conference like this, you know, where you have a team, Indiana, who does have some talent, you know, on that team. It's not like they're not a good football team. They just aren't productive at the quarterback position right now. So a win is a win. They're one way away from being bowl eligible. Like you guys said, that's, you know, 15 extra practices and, you know, a chance for them to build some momentum towards signing day. But, you know, obviously I think we're all excited to talk about Temple and Penn State, and that's going to be a lot of fun to watch that game this week. But win's a win, and Penn State moves on.
Well, and Keith, after, you know, week in and week out with what we're seeing with Christian Hackenberg, are you you losing any faith in him?
I'm not losing faith in him. I mean, it's just human nature. I mean, the guy's going to start, you know, he's getting hit so much, he's probably got shell shock right now. you know, what gets me is, you know, he's off on a couple throws. I'm not liking his mannerisms, I guess you would say. He makes a throw, he starts yelling at somebody because they didn't pull the catch in, or I saw a couple times he threw about a 92-mile-an-hour fastball into the ground on a screen, and he was mad about the running back drifting, and it's just the little stuff that, I mean, those little things add up in the long run, and, you know, once they start becoming habits, that's when you got to start breaking them of it and throwing off the back foot, throwing. I mean, he's not really making bad reads per se. He's not making the throws I've become accustomed to see him throw, to make those throws. He's not making those touch passes anymore. He seems like he's just trying to drill everything in there.
Yeah, and I was going to say the same thing, and it also looks to me like it's almost like he's throwing the ball nonchalantly. He's not, a lot of times he's not stepping and throwing. He's got such a cannon, but it's almost like his feet are square a lot of times, and he's still trying to make throws. And obviously, when you're not stepping where you're throwing, the ball's not going to go where you want it to. And I'm thinking that's a lot to do with his inaccuracies.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Bill. I mean, when you look at him mechanically, he's never been, you know, crazy in terms of being sound at that position. You can see his footwork. You can see, you know, the release point sometimes. He does struggle with some of the minute details there, but, I mean, he's a young quarterback. He's going to get better at that. But the problem is when you start forcing throws meaning he's being aggressive. He's trying to make plays. You know, the offense obviously has been stagnant. You can see that he's had, you know, difficulties with that when things have slowed down for him. You know, the kid just wants to, you know, he's a big-time player. He wants to make plays, and, you know, he's gotten himself into some difficult situations. But he reminds me, like we talked about at the beginning of the season, I mean, he's kind of got that gunslinger, a little bit of that Brett Favre mentality, you know, kind of distributes the football from all over, and he has such a strong arm that he gets away with it a lot of times. But when you're pressing and when you're, you know, not as confident as you once were, you know, you start to see some of these mistakes, and it's just unfortunate because the kid is just so talented. And, you know, he's gonna go down as probably one of the better quarterbacks to ever play there, and it'd be nice for him to, you know, to get some help there up front and also running the football, which this week was a little bit better. But he's definitely struggling a little bit right now.
Yeah. What about Mike Hull? I think we can't have a show without talking about Mike Hull. Nine more tackles. You know, is there a better linebacker in the Big Ten than Mike Hull right now?
You know, I mean, one thing I want to say about Hull was that the other day was the first time I actually ever saw him lose his composure on the field. Did you guys notice that?
He had he cut his knees.
Yeah. And he said he had flashbacks to Mike Brody against the same team. They came in there sort of a high low, you know, a late, you know, cut behind the, you know, away from the ball, a pointless cut. So you can see where he was a little upset about that. But you know, I mean, the guy is always around the football. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then, you know, there are plays where he gets blocked. I mean, he's not an unblockable player. Like I would say, like Danny Connor and Puz Lesney, they were pretty much unblockable type, or Sean Lee was the same way. Where this kid, it just knows the game and just makes plays after plays after plays, and he's always in the right position at the right time. I mean, I know you know, we're in the Philly press box here, so we'll talk about the Eagles last night. You're watching that Kukli guy from the Carolina Panthers. He's unbelievable. He's just unbelievable. And they say he has the best first step in football where he knows exactly what's going on in this and that. I would compare Hull to him.
Yeah, that's funny. I was thinking the same thing. He's very instinctive. Both of them are very instinctive, as you pointed out.
Yeah, and they don't look like the dominant, like Shane Conlon, Brian Bosworth, you know, those type of stud middle linebackers and stuff like that. Even though back to, you know, around here with Puz Lesney and Connor and Lee and Navarro Bowman, you know, he doesn't look the part, but, man, he just is around the football and just makes play after play after play. And you do see he just accepted an invitation to the Senior Bowl.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. I like him. He's just another in the long line. And by the way, I was just looking this up while you were talking. Mike Hull is leading the Big Ten in tackles with 99. Damian Wilson of Minnesota is second at 88. So Hull's got 99 in 9 games, 11 a game, 56 solos, 43 assists, and two sacks.
Yeah. That's productive. That's production right there, right?
That's right. When you can get 9 a game, you're doing something right. Well, hey, let's talk Temple. The Owls are coming to town. You know, you guys were right on talking about the possibility of a letdown against Memphis, and they didn't disappoint you because they did. While I took the Owls, you guys were both on Memphis, and you picked up the win there. But what do you think of Temple coming into Beaver Stadium? Now that we've been talking about it for weeks, but now it's really here. Terry, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. I think it's exciting for both teams. I mean, as you know, you guys have pointed out, there's obviously some ties between you know, Temple to Penn State at least, and you know, I know that coaching staff's going to be fired up about the opportunity to go in there and to be competitive with a big program like that. So I'm excited to watch it. I mean, Temple. I mean, this game against Memphis, I did pick Memphis, but when you watch that game, I feel after watching that game that Temple was a better team. Temple, to me, was more athletic. I thought they ran the football pretty efficiently. They weren't quite as efficient in the pass game. Walker definitely didn't play. You know, he wasn't crisp. It wasn't his best game. And there was really, it just came down to a few plays here or there, a few opportunities like that one wheel route where they had the guy going down the sideline and the receiver dropped the ball. There was just a few plays here and there that kind of, you know, held Temple back from kind of taking control of that game. But physically, you know, athletically, you know, I feel like Temple was the better team, and they really deserved to win that game. They just couldn't quite get over that hump. And, you know, give Memphis a lot of credit for kind of, you know, sticking through it and just kind of making things happen there. But Temple played really hard. I thought they were focused. I thought they were prepared. They looked prepared. One of the main things that I kind of took away from the game was the special teams, and especially the punt game. The punt game was brutal. I mean, the field position was just – it was really tough on Temple. They just did not have a very good night of executing in the punt game, and that was a factor just in terms of field position. But I'm excited for this game. I think Temple's going to be really fired up, obviously. Penn State's going to be fired up. Both these defenses, as I mentioned earlier, they're both very good defenses in terms of, you know, giving up points. So I think it's going to be one of those, you know, really tight games, especially early on. Maybe Penn State will have a chance to pull away late, but I think you're going to see two defenses really get after it in this one. I don't think either team's going to run the ball that well. And it's going to come down to who can be more efficient in the pass game. So you got to give Penn State the advantage there because they obviously have, you know, one of the more talented quarterbacks. So I'm fired up for it. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this Philadelphia team go in there and play against, you know, Penn State. You know, obviously a lot of fans probably like both teams. So it should be a lot of fun.
Well, hey, Keith, the Temple is ranked 109th in the nation in rushing. Penn State's ranked 125th. Penn State is ranked number 6 in total points allowed, while Temple is ranked number 10. Something's got to give. What do you think?
My God, the heavens above. I mean, I just don't.
6-4?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I think we'd be better off taking safeties than punting. I mean, and they're just as bad or worse than us in the punting game. You know, Terry's talking about that Memphis game, and I watched that game. You know, I had taken Temple. I took Temple, right? Yeah.
No, I warned.
Yeah, because I warned of the letdown, and that's exactly what happened. But you know, their special teams really let them down in that game. I like their defense, I do, and it scares me. Their defensive line versus our offensive line, it's the same old situation. It's the same old story all over again. Every week, it's what matches up, and can we run the ball? And if they can run the ball, they'll win the game. That's it. It's just like we're talking about the Ohio State game and saying their offensive line did match up well against our defensive line, and it proved to be true. But if Ohio State could have run the ball, they would have won that game, and that's what, you know, sort of happened, I guess, late in the game. But this, again, it comes down to whoever can run the ball this week on a pretty, you know, okay defense. You know, our defense is just lights out right now. I expect extremely, extremely low-scoring game with a lot of punts, a lot of, like, 12-yard net average punts and stuff like that. So it's not going to be a pretty game. They're calling for really cold weather up here. So might not be some happy campers around here. But, oh, well, on a personal note, it's obviously being a Philadelphia guy, I always have a lot of people who are Temple grads and in my circle of friends who always come up for this game. So, I mean, it's going to be – I'll have a busy weekend entertaining and stuff like that for a lot of friends coming up from home. So I always look forward to it. I always play some of my best games against Temple. Really funny how that is, but it happens. And knowing Matt Rhule, Jeremy Scott, Elijah Robinson, a couple other guys he has down there at Temple, Sean Patton I grew up with. He's the director of player operations down there. So know these guys really well. And, you know, it's like one of those games you wish, neither team had to lose, you know.
Right.
I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait for it. You know, Matt has made some great points this week. I think one of the best things I've ever heard a coach say, he goes, you know, I told my team right off the get, I don't want to hear one person say, it's Penn State week. And everybody was like, why don't you want kids thinking that? He goes, because I can promise you, I guarantee you, I know for a fact, no one up at State College is screaming, hey, it's Temple week. It's Temple week, so we're not giving them any satisfaction. And I was like, you know what? That's a pretty good point, Rhule. It's a very good point. It's just another game.
Yeah, don't get it. Don't be in all of them. That is a great point.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, here's my take. Here's my take,
Keith. Matt made. Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, Matty said, he goes, there's a lot of things that we do pregame that would have Coach Turner rolling over in his grave. I thought that was funny, too.
Well, you know what, though? That's what's so cool about that to me. I'm sure with Matt Rhule, Coach Rhule, and Coach Golden, two off the top of my head, you know, those guys model their stuff after what they learned from Coach Paterno. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to have your own personality, put your own stuff in. And the foundation certainly comes from playing at Penn State, but each man does his own thing. That's what's so cool about it.
I completely agree.
Hey, Keith, I wanted to say, here's going to be my take on this game. I think the team that turns the ball over the least is the team that's going to win. Neither team is going to be able to run the ball. Both teams are going to be forced to throw the ball. And who can rush the passer, who can force turnovers. I'm going to stay with you pretty close on a low-scoring game. I don't know that I would think it's going to be real low because I think there will be turnovers that are going to make the difference. But to me, that's it. It's a slugfest, and whoever throws the ball around, and especially if it's going to be cold, makes it even worse.
Great points.
That doesn't set up well for Temple if they're going to have to rely on the pass game to be efficient in this one.
Yep.
Well, wouldn't you pretty well think ranked 109th and going up against the Penn State defense that they're going to have to figure out how to throw the ball?
They're going to try. They're going to have to.
Yep.
I think you're right. Turnovers are going to be a big for Temple, especially if they can force a few turnovers, get some favorable field position, get some points early, get up. They're going to have a good shot to be in this game.
Yep. Hey, Keith, on a different subject regarding Penn State, been a lot of news in the this week about the whole situation up there, and looking like it's maybe taking a little more of a favorable turn as I think we all thought it would in time. You got a take on that?
Well, patient bear is what I've been saying for 2 or 3 years now. You know, my whole feeling on Coach Paterno is, you know, the guy was like, he was the second father to me, and I just can't imagine he knew what was going on. I just don't, it's in my mind, that's how I think about it. I think there's no way that a coach had ever known something was that awry, in my opinion. People say that he knew, and there's absolutely no way. The person I knew would not know anything of that situation. There may have been suspicions or whatever, whatnot, but, you know, to purposely cover it up, I don't see it. It's not the person I know. So with the emails coming out and the lawsuits coming out and they're deposing people, it's just unbelievable. Terry, you're out west. What are you hearing? You know, I mean, you're just as involved in this as us because, you know, I see it as the USC, Penn State, and Miami teams are going to make the NCAA come to their knees and crumble. Mark Emmert's on paper, literally on paper, on an email, saying that we are going to bluff them. He actually literally used the word bluff about the sanctions, the $60 million fine, and that we would be so embarrassed and want it over with, they would be forced to accept it. I mean, and then for the first time ever, last Wednesday night, Penn State presidency and Penn State hierarchy actually made a statement about the whole situation, and they says this is outrageous that this is going on to a member institution. It's like being a member of a country club, and you know you're a dues-paying member of something, and then they accuse you of something that's so embarrassing to you that you know that they're going to bluff you into guilting you into this, and it's just where it's going right now is unbelievable. I think people expected it, but it's really hard to imagine that they were stupid enough to say this amongst emails and. And there's a lot of presidents of universities on these emails, and they're all involved. It's not just Mark Emmert. It's unbelievable. So it's coming, boys. The day is coming. The day of reckoning will be here soon enough.
Yeah, you're right, Keith. One thing to one of the big differences between the Penn State case and the USC case as it pertains to emails and information being disseminated is that the NCAA is being sued by the coach that was supposedly involved with Reggie Bush in terms of knowing what was going on.
Yep.
And that's been in the courts for a number of years now. So there's no way that they're going to allow the courts to release that information, those emails, which, just like in this case, were rumored to be really, really ugly for the NCAA in terms
yep.
of
yep.
them doctoring up information and basically, you know, putting stuff on USC that didn't really happen. So, but the caveat there for USC is that that information will likely not come out. And if they settle with the coach out of court, which a lot of people think they will eventually, then those emails may never come to light, or at least parts
yeah.
of them won't come to light. So from the USC standpoint, you know, they're kind of stuck where they're not in the – they don't have the luxury of seeing that stuff now, where Penn State's going to be able to act on this. And like you said, Miami, the whole situation that went on down there, they're going to be able to act on that. So USC, it may come a couple years down the road if they get access to those emails. But – you know, for Penn State, as Bill pointed out, you know, one of the things that I pointed to very early on, and I feel really bad about the whole paternal situation, how that all went down, and especially with his family and his sons and them trying to kind of reconcile, you know, their father's legacy. And one of the things, I think Bill and I even talked about this at one point, one of the things I said was, as they were kind of, you know, trying to attack it initially, right after everything went down, that just wasn't really a good time for them to do that. Having patience with a situation like this and with more and more information being released, you know, Jay and the crew, they're going to be able to go after the NCAA. They're going to be able to go after the NCAA as it pertains to Joe's records and, you know, some of those numbers that they took away. But it was really a matter of timing. And I think after, you know, a few more years of this and more information being leaked out, they're going to have a really strong case to kind of reconcile some of these wrongs that have been done to Paterno and his record. And, you know, that'll be a good thing, because the NCAA just had no business whatsoever being involved in that case up there at Penn State. And it's just really sad. You know, in some ways, I hope they do bring them to their knees. If they do that, though, I just have a feeling that, you know, college athletics will never be the same. But maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of my big questions. In those emails, Emmer is talking about he's being told to not go this route, and he is just seeing it as a public relations dream, that he can hammer Penn State, and people are trying to tell him this is out of your jurisdiction. It will work in the short term, but will never work in the long run, and he still went ahead and did it because he wanted the public relations and he wanted the fame, and he wanted to be held in a good light, and that the NCAA was taking their power back. And he's actually, I mean, those were released yesterday. There were some released last week and some released yesterday. The one that just absolutely drives me crazy is that he is literally talking to his associates about how his Wikipedia page is not correct. And it's literally, he's sitting there saying, they missed the mark in my Wikipedia page. You know, and then he obviously has no understanding of what Wikipedia is, because last night a lot of Penn State people went on there and just started doctoring up his Wikipedia page.
Right.
It was freaking funny. It was hilarious. But, you know, hey, Todd Bowles is the coach at USC, correct? Is that the name?
No.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
No, are you talking about the guy that was the crux of the
Yes.
of the investigation?
Yes.
No, it was Todd McNair, the running backs coach.
That's McNair.
From Temple.
Todd McNair, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, was he the Temple guy or was Todd Bowles? Because I think Todd Bowles was a Temple guy, but I think Todd McNair was too.
No, Todd McNair is the Temple guy. Todd Bowles is the guy who was a coach with the Eagles, who's now the D.C. for the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, that's
yeah,
what I saw.
I want to say
yes,
he's
so
a Notre Dame guy, I think, Todd Bowles, or Michigan, somewhere like that.
McNair, I know he was a you know, I noticed the Temple side to it, so that's why I wanted to say something. So, yeah, but, you know, again, everybody's being patient, and supposedly the word is that Mark Emmert's being deposed this Friday. I mean, seriously, the court is making him come in and answer these questions. And from these emails and what has been released so far this week, I mean, I live here, so I'm on top of it. It's a huge thing. The first thing they're talking about is, a lot of these people have very selective memories of the people they've deposed already. Oh, I don't remember, I don't recall, I don't remember, I don't recall. And this was 2-3 years ago this was going on. And now people's argument is, well, you helped Paterno for something he said 10 years ago.
Right.
And then people, you know, they were yelling at him for him not remembering. It was just one of those things. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I think when it's all said and done, you know, and I think it's going to probably move a lot faster than it has been so far.
Oh, it's here. I'm telling you guys.
I think Penn State, I don't know you come out of this clean. I don't know that that's the right word, but they're going to come out of this somewhat whole. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
Well, yeah. But
I think Coach Paterno will get his wins back when it's all said and done, and my buddy Scrap will get his one win too.
Exactly right, you know. And that is, people worry about coaches' victories and all this and all that, and I've often said the argument I have with the NCAA about this whole situation is they had a chance to really shine a light on child abuse. The NCAA could have made Penn State the beacon of light and, you know, been that, you know, like the NFL is doing with domestic disputes right now, domestic arguments, domestic abuse type of thing.
Yeah, right,
the NFL is being, they're the leaders in the forefront of this right now. They're trying to get out ahead of it right now. But instead, the incident just killed Penn State, tried to put them in their grave. And the other word they used this week in their emails was like, these three were like shooting roadkill on the side of the highway. Well, they were talking about Curly Schultz and Spanier. Emmert and Ed Ray and his crew were talking about, it'll just be like shooting roadkill. It's already dead, so why don't we just keep putting more holes in it? But they're saying this on their emails.
Wow.
So it's coming, guys.
Well,
it's coming pretty fast.
It can't be soon enough as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's coming. I mean, it's you know, I know, Terry, you said a year or two and this and that, and they'll come back. I personally, I think it might be within a month or two, man. I mean, they are dead to rights in a lot of this stuff right now, and there's so many different lawsuits coming at them right now, and then they have the whole North Carolina situation coming at them. It's in a bad situation, a bad place right now.
Yeah. I was more referring to just like in the court of public opinion as it pertains to their dad.
Oh. Well, see, that's my thing. You're on the West Coast, so I would love to see – I know you're tuned into the NCAA a lot, you know, and you're tuned into us, and but I would love to see what the feeling is out there, and, you know, whatever what the feelings are nationally. And I've heard words where it's literally just the tip of the iceberg of what's coming out, and this will be a national story, a big national story. So, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, I know a couple of
worldwide leader. We'll have to see how the worldwide leader responds, because they were part of the ones digging the hole.
You mean the SEC network?
Yeah. The SEC network. They were the ones digging the hole, or part of the ones digging the hole to throw everybody in.
I want Joey Galloway and Desmond Howard at Penn State apologizing. I don't care about Mark Emery. He can go rot in hell. Joey Galloway and Desmond Howard have been the biggest you know what's about this whole situation, talking about this, talking about that. Been very outspoken on Twitter and social media about this, and I would love for them to just eat a big pile of steaming Mark May.
It's coming.
Mark May.
All right. Hey, Terry, let's move on right quick. Let's talk about the Villanova beating of Towson real quick, 42-14. They're back on track. They moved up a notch to number 5 in the rankings, and John Robertson was back in business again this week coming off that loss to Richmond.
Absolutely. I think he accounted for, what, close to 400 yards of total offense. I think he had 100 yards rushing in this game, actually. Got back on track throwing the football. You know, they're two games away now from, you know, securing their spot in the playoffs, and they're playing teams that play about 500 ball. So one road game, one home game. Villanova got back on track. Like you said, they ran the ball well again. You know, they're at, what you said, number 5 again. So they should have a pretty good seed going into the playoffs. And look, think about it this way. This team has lost, what, two games now by a combined 2 points? I believe that Syracuse game was, what, 27-26 in overtime? Something like that, right? It was, And then they obviously lost to Richmond by a point. So, I mean, this team is 2 points away from being undefeated and being up there in the top, you know, top two or three. But it's a good team, good football team on a level playing field, on a neutral site. You're probably not going to find a team that's, you know, more talented than them. And you know, they're efficient at running the football. We've talked about their quarterback glowingly, you know, the entire season. So. Good win. Now they got two more games here. They win these two games, and they'll have a pretty good spot there in the playoffs.
Did you guys just notice on the playoff rankings?
Yep, Nebraska, I'm taking a quick look.
Nebraska dropped from 13 to 16.
Wow.
Georgia is now 15. Oh, my gosh. Arizona went to 9. I mean, it's unbelievable. They dropped. How do you drop them?
Wow, yeah, Ohio State.
Auburn goes to 9, Ohio State to 8, Baylor to 7. Baylor Bears are hanging around for some reason. They're 8-1.
Yep.
Well, I guess who does that leave us to have be number 5 and 6 then? If we know Alabama and Oregon or Oregon and Alabama are going to be 3 and 4, who
TCU
am I missing?
And Arizona State.
There you go. All right, well, let's thank our sponsor right quick, and then we'll get over to some of these games and let them finish out. We'll talk some about that. So let's thank our sponsor before we get there. If you'd like to shopping online, we've got the place for you. You can do all your shopping from one location and get cash back on your purchases from over 3,000 stores. It's South Beach Shopping Mall Without Walls, and it's simple to do. Go to www.south-beach-shopping.com and click on the top shop tab. From there, click sign in, register to become a preferred customer. That's it. You're free to look around at all the products and click on the All Stores tab and check out all 3,000 plus network stores. All the big stores are there. It's a great opportunity to get cash back and even comparison shop. And best yet, it's free to register. If you have any questions, click on the Contact Us tab on the homepage or click on your shop consultant, South Beach Shopping, to leave a message. Well, Keith, let's jump over and talk about Ohio State, Michigan State. You picked Ohio State. I know you really didn't believe that it was going to happen, but you were looking out for your buddies.
Oh, come
but,
on.
But you did pick Ohio State, and they put a beat down on Sparty in East Lansing.
A very impressive beating. An absolutely very impressive beating. Go back to this ranking, guys. Why did Nebraska lose four spots?
I have no idea. I was trying to look right quick to see. Did they even play this week?
Yeah.
I don't think. Did they play?
Yeah, did they play? You know what? They might have been off this past week.
Yeah, I think they're off because they're going to Wisconsin to play this week. That's one of our games to
that's correct.
Pick.
Yep.
But hang on. I will give you that information right.
Yeah. But I would just love to know and then how Georgia jumped up. Georgia jumped up 10 spots.
SEC.
It's unbelievable, man.
Yes,
yep.
It is.
They play at Wisconsin this week.
So they had to drop Nebraska down and move Georgia up because they are going to play the SEC West team. So they have to have a little bit of juju if that Georgia wins that game. So they have to put Georgia in the – oh, my God.
Well, Mississippi
wow.
State will be out of the top – they'll be out of the top four after this weekend.
Mississippi State.
Well, we got Terry's pick already.
That's right.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
There's an early pick for you.
Yeah, Oregon is up to number two.
Oregon
yeah.
jumped Florida State.
I'm okay with that. Oregon's playing really well right now.
And I am not sold on Florida State, guys. Not at
I'm not sold on Florida State either. I'd be more interested in the ins and outs of this thing. How do they determine? How do you? I mean, Florida State played. They won, and they get jumped. I don't get that.
Subjective process, my friend.
It's really bad.
Yeah. Wow.
Put Arizona State in there just for fun. Come on.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think they'll be in there.
Put them in at
number four.
Just to create chaos down south. Just put them in at four.
Oh, geez. My TV will blow up if that happens. well,
yeah,
all
not,
of us.
Not this week, but. Well, yeah, the SEC is going to take care of itself. It's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, but
I'm still going for the two losses for everybody.
Yeah, me too.
There you go. So Arizona State's going to play Oregon.
My TV just exploded.
Wow.
TCU is
nice.
Number four.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. But okay, so let me pose this question to you, Bill. How can you have TCU at four when Baylor beat them head to head and they both only have one loss?
I was already gonna bring that up. How does
that
happen?
Because they lost to West Virginia? I mean, is that the difference? It was a lesser team?
TCU lost to Oklahoma, didn't they?
Hey, watch out for that Arizona State team though.
TCU
lost to Baylor. Remember, they gave up all those points in the fourth quarter.
That's right. And then Baylor lost to West Virginia. Right. Wow.
It's just unbelievable how they could do this.
Yep.
Well,
wow.
Guys, the good news is we still have more football to play.
Well,
that's right.
Well, that's my question. I mean, hey, Oregon plays Arizona State, correct, in the Pac-12 title? Is that going to happen?
Well, the Pac-12 South actually hasn't been decided.
Okay.
There's so many different scenarios. Arizona State plays Arizona the last game of the season, and that's always a tough one. For some reason, if Arizona beats Arizona State, you could have a three-way tie with Arizona, Arizona State, and USC, and that's if USC gets past UCLA next week. If USC does beat UCLA, then USC would actually be the representative of the South by way of a three-way tiebreaker if they beat UCLA. If UCLA beats USC and Arizona State loses to Arizona, then UCLA would be the representative of the South. If Arizona State wins out, then they go, obviously.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be – it's that the Pac-10 is going to figure itself out. Whoever wins the Pac-10 no, I shouldn't say that because Arizona State, because if it's a USC, they're not going to get in if they beat Oregon.
No, USC's not going to get in.
If Arizona State goes in and plays Oregon, the winner is in. That's
yes.
a given.
Yes.
Florida State's got two games left against Florida, and then Miami, that's Florida, right? And then they got to play Duke.
Correct.
I mean, if they run the table, they deserve it. Go ahead.
I think TCU or Baylor, one of those two teams is going to get in.
TCU or Baylor, I think so too, yeah.
Well, TCU's done. TCU basically is done. I mean, they should win the rest of their games. They're going to be favored heavily in those games.
They don't have a title.
TCU plays Texas. Right. That'll be a tough game. They play Texas, but they should win their games. So TCU, yeah, they don't have a title game. So Baylor still has some tough games on the docket.
Wow.
Baylor plays Kansas State the last week of the season, I believe.
Who does?
Baylor and Kansas State. I believe they play the last week of the season.
Yes, I think you're right.
Okay.
I think Florida State. If Florida State gets past Miami this week and they beat Florida, then there's a good chance they're going to be in there. Like you said, the Pac-12, there's a good chance Oregon or Arizona State gets in. TCU, Baylor, so that leaves Mississippi State and Alabama. You know, we'll see what happens there. But the SEC, it's going to be very interesting to see if they could possibly be the odd team out, depending on how things transpire over the next couple weeks.
Are you just teeing it up for Billy over here by saying no SEC team is going to get in?
Well, I actually predicted that as well. Both of us did at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I mean,
but you didn't even mention Ohio State, Terry. Are they not on your radar?
That's my question.
It's funny because we're going to talk about this, and I actually have Ohio State getting in. I have Ohio State in the playoff.
So do I.
Yeah, I have Ohio State in there.
My brother at home and another guy I know, Bucky Greeley, my old teammate, we argue back and forth all the time. And I said, listen, Terry told me something earlier in the year. They're not going to have a non-Big Ten team if they only have one loss because they can't afford to alienate the Midwest and the East Coast. They can't do it.
I have Ohio State in there.
I have a question to throw out at you guys, and not that this is a team that's probably any good, but they've only lost one game, and Duke is ranked 21st.
Now, that's my other thing.
You know,
They're going to play
them in the championship game.
Yeah.
They won't play them in the regular season. They're going to win the Coastal, and they're going to go into that game with one loss. And they're going to play Florida State. Now, regardless of what's going to happen there, because I'm sure we all think Florida State will probably work them over, but how do you end up, I guess they're 9-1 now. I think they're 9-1.
Eight and one,
and be ranked 21st with everybody else with two losses ahead of you.
Well, they're not in the SEC; they're in the ACC. So obviously, that's probably one of the worst power conferences. If it's not Florida State, there's no chance for an ACC team to get in there. No chance.
None.
Absolutely no chance.
None.
Okay, but we understand that. But just looking at the process now, would we assume that it's just a strength of schedule thing? It doesn't matter that you're 8 or 9 and 1 because you're not playing all the big boys, so you're basically considered the same as Colorado State?
Essentially, yeah. Essentially, it's Duke. I mean, Duke has been good in football now for, what, the last couple years? They've been competitive the last couple years. I mean, unfortunately, it's not fair. It's not fair. Yeah, why is Wisconsin – why are some of these teams with two losses ranked above them? I mean, we can't answer the question for the committee, but, I mean, it's not fair, but it's Duke, and they play in the ACC, and they haven't played a whole lot of good teams yet. So, I mean, that's probably why they have them there. I mean, you would think, I mean, anybody that watches college football week in and week out, I would probably have them a little bit higher than where they're at, just based on the fact that they're 8-1, they are in a power conference, and they've been, you know, fairly impressive in some of these games. That's me personally. I don't think they should be at 21. I think they should be higher than that.
Me too. I don't see how you can rank Georgia up anywhere near anybody after the beatdown they got from Florida.
Well,
they got beat down by Florida so bad.
What did they do to jump up 5-6 spots this week? Who did they beat?
Georgia beat up on who did they beat up on this past week?
Hang on, I'm looking. It wasn't even a game worth watching. I can tell you that because I watched a ton of them.
So what? Why in the world would they move them up 4 or 5 spots?
SEC.
But this just proves our point, guys. It's completely speculative from week to week.
No question.
It's not about a question. If you lose, you're out. It's a question of who they want, in my opinion.
Georgia beat Kentucky 63-31.
Right. Yeah, Kentucky. That's an impressive win, though. I mean, Kentucky is a pretty good football team, and they have some good athletes. So, I mean, that's a good win for Georgia, especially without Gurley still not in the lineup. That's a good win. This is what I hope happens. I hope Alabama beats Mississippi State. I hope Auburn beats Alabama. And I hope that the SEC East, which nobody thinks has a chance to win, beats the SEC West champion, and none of these teams get into the playoff. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, you forgot
for.
About Ole Miss beating Mississippi State, too, so they all go into the championship game with 2 losses.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. You're right. Ole Miss, it would be great if they beat Mississippi State as well that last game.
There you go. Mississippi State loses this weekend to Alabama, beats Ole Miss. Alabama loses to Georgia. Mississippi State does not even play in the SEC title. Do they get the invite to the Final Four?
Yeah, I think they would.
That's crazy, though.
No, you can if you didn't make the title game.
That is a very good chance of happening.
With TCU, technically they wouldn't really have won their title either because they would be tied with Baylor more than likely, and Baylor beat them.
Baylor beat them.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a little different situation because they don't have a title game. But in a league that has a title game and you don't get to it, you can't go ahead of the team that won.
I agree with you, Bill. I don't think the committee would see it that way, but I agree with you. I don't think if you don't win your conference, you should not be in the conversation. That's how I feel. I think winning the conference is a big deal, but that's me.
There's a good chance of that happening, fellas.
Well, interesting. Well, hey, let's we're flying away on our time, so we're going to skip some of these games, and we're going to be sure we get our picks in because
yes.
I got a beating this week, and honestly, I got a couple phone calls from some of these coaches in these big time programs and said, please don't pick me this week.
No, you've been really good all
year. Here we are, Terry. A huge week for you on some tough games. You finished 7-2. Great, great week for you. Keith, 5-4. Good week. I stunk it up at 4-5. So Terry is now the man, Keith. We got to hunt him down. He's got a 3-game lead on me. He's 51-23. I'm 48-26. Keith, you're 43-31. We got ground to make up, my friend.
I'm just a goon. He's the expert. I'm just a goon.
Oh, I hear you. And I am goon, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
let's go.
I'm first
Temple
this week,
and Penn State.
Am Who's I first, first this week?
Are you or am I? You go first.
No. I don't want to go. I don't want to take it if I don't need it.
I'll go first.
All right, go ahead. Temple, Penn State.
No, he's not going first again.
I'll go. Temple at Penn State. I'm taking Penn State.
I think my answer is pretty much I'm taking Penn State, so I'm good to go there.
Yeah, I'm going to take Penn State as well. I think Hackenberg, and I think that defense is going to be too much. But it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, but I'm going to go Penn State as well.
All right. left. Albany, Villanova. I'm going Villanova. Albany's not a bad team, though, but I'm going Villanova.
Villanova had their hiccup. They're good. We're good to go. Villanova's going to rock it.
I'm taking Villanova as well.
All right. Mississippi State, Alabama. At Alabama. Oh, Nelly. I am going to take Mississippi State.
Oh, wow, baby. Yep, I'm going to go with Mississippi State also. I think this is their big coming out of the I know they're number one, but they still have to prove it. I think this is a huge game for them, and I'm not sold on Alabama.
Me neither.
Yeah. Guys, Alabama struggles at the quarterback position, especially on the road. They haven't been very efficient there, and they're not dominating at the point of attack like they have the last couple years on either side of the line of scrimmage there. So Mississippi State has a good chance, but I'm going to take Alabama in this game, and I'm going to take Alabama big. I think Alabama's going to win this game by 14-plus points.
What's that?
14-plus points. They are going to dominate Mississippi State this weekend, and they will insert themselves into the Final Four for at least next week. We'll see what happens with Auburn, but I think Alabama will
run away. We will see how that plays out, because I don't think they're good enough to do that.
We're gonna find out, my friend.
All right, here we go. Number 11, Nebraska at number 22, Wisconsin. I kind of like this game. This is a game that's going to decide that side of the conference. The winner is going to the championship. And I think, as much as I want to pick Wisconsin at home, I think I still have to go with Nebraska.
Oh, boy, we're 4-for-4 right now. I'm going to go with the Cornhuskers also. I'm not sold on Wisconsin either.
Yeah, Wisconsin, they struggle still throwing the football. Stave obviously has solidified that position a little bit. But I like Wisconsin right now. I think they're playing some really good football. Nebraska is as well, but Amir Abdullah is still he's banged up. He's not going to be 100% in this game, and they rely on him so heavily. I'm going to go Wisconsin. I think they're going to run the football really well in this game. They're going to beat Nebraska up a little bit, and I think they get the win. So I'll go the opposite on this game as well.
Wow.
Hey, we're picking up two, Keith.
Yeah.
All right, number 9, Auburn. At number 16, Georgia, I'm going Auburn, no doubt.
Well, I'm going to go with Georgia because obviously the NCAA and their corrupt way, they need to get the Georgia up a little bit higher. So I'll take Georgia.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bill on this one. I like Auburn to win this game.
So
I think.
But I have to say,
you have to go with Georgia.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, I hear you. Look, Georgia could win this game, though. Georgia with Gurley coming back, he and Chubb together, they're going to run the football. Problem with Georgia is when they get into a game where a team can match up with them man for man, athlete for athlete, the problem is that they're not efficient throwing the football. I mean, everything they do is so horizontal. It's, dink and dunk. They don't push the ball downfield at all. Auburn's going to be able to stack the line of scrimmage in this game, and I think they're going to be effective doing that. So I'm going to go Auburn.
All right. I put this one in here just because more of the rivalry. But I put number 2 Florida State at Miami. Miami's getting better, fellas. And I don't know if they're good enough to beat Florida State or not. But Florida State plays every game on the edge. And to me, a turnover one way or another could swing a game against a good team. I am going to step out and take the U.
My one upset of the week, damn it. I was going to take the U also. I mean, I just feel as if it's point spread's like 2 or 3 points, and it's a weird point spread to me. And I think that what Bill just said, they let the play of fire, and they haven't gotten burnt yet. They really haven't. And I think that Al and Adonalf, they need this. So I'm going to go with the U also.
Yeah, you guys are right. Miami's playing; they're playing a lot better. And Brad Kaya, the freshman quarterback, has been really a pleasant surprise for them. But with that said, I'm going Florida State. It's hard to go against Jameis Winston for all the off-the-field stuff that goes on. The kid can really play football. And when the game is on the line, I'm going to trust the ball in Jameis Winston's hands over Brad Kaya. No offense to the U and to Brad, but that's a tall order for a true freshman to take on a game like this and to play really, really well, which they're going to need him to. So I'm going to take Florida State. I think their defense is going to play a little bit better in this game. Should be a competitive game. Should be a fun game to watch, but I like Jameis Winston and Florida State in this game.
Well, the thing I like about this game as compared to last year when I was actually at the game in Tallahassee, and Miami was hanging with them for a while, and then they lost Duke Johnson and Phil Dorsett both in the same game, and they ended up getting beat up. But the last few weeks, Duke's been the main man for them, and when he's good, they're good. So that's my main reason of taking Miami. They're going to run the football, and Duke Johnson's pretty good at it.
We have some different games this week. This is going to be fun.
Yep, yeah. We're going to make up. Keith, we're going to get back in his hunt.
Yeah, and I'll be 15 years behind you, so I'm done.
That's right. Well, hey, we got about 3 minutes, so we can jump back and we can talk about any one of these games you guys want to talk about. We just don't have a whole lot of time to do it. Which one you want to talk about? We can go Michigan State. We could go Alabama in overtime.
Notre Dame, Arizona State.
All right, go ahead.
Notre Dame, Arizona State. So I took Arizona State in this game. Arizona State is definitely a quality football team, a really well-coached football team, you know, as obviously they're up there in the top six now. They actually lost 9 starters from last year's defense, but Todd Graham is an excellent defensive coach. He's got those guys playing really good football. They created, 5 turnovers there with Everett Golson on Saturday, and Golson was playing really well this year. They just got after it. They were athletic. They were flying around the field. They just gave Notre Dame all sorts of fits. Golson never got comfortable. In the second half, he started, you know, he settled down a little bit, made some plays. But, you know, once again, at the end of the game, they turned the ball over a few times and blew the game open. But really impressed with Arizona State and Todd Graham and the job that he's doing there, because going into this year, a lot of people didn't have Arizona State playing as well as they are. They've even won a few games with their backup quarterback. Kelly's back now. He's playing better. He's getting his timing back. They have one of the best wide receivers in the country. This team's a really good football team. And if they do play Oregon, if they make it to the championship with one loss, that's going to be a heck of a football game. Notre Dame, you know, they finally played their first, you know, true road game, and it didn't go so well. But Notre Dame's a quality football team. I don't think that was really indicative of you know, the quality of that team or that brand. They didn't play very well, and Arizona State was just on them early. But that was a fun game to watch. I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought that was one of the more interesting games to watch this past weekend.
Well, it was a true road game for the Irish.
What was that, Keith?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I liked how they how Notre Dame was getting blown out and then bounced back and almost got right back in it and then turned the ball over, and the Jets got turned on by Arizona State, and it was a blowout again.
Yep. You know, that's what happens when you play one away game a year at Florida State. That's what happens when you have to go a couple time zones over. So
that's true. They have played two.
You know, I think Notre Dame was exposed, and I think that Arizona State came out a little bit. I mean, they really impressed me. I'm a late night better, guys. If you know what I mean, I like to catch up on all my early losses. So I've watched the Sun Devils a couple times this year and have been pretty impressed by them. I mean, they got a little mojo going after beating USC on that last play of the game, as you recall. I mean, think about that. Their two losses, if USC just knocks that ball down, guys, you know. So I have watched Arizona State. I enjoy watching them. They're a fun team to watch. So I've been touting them the last couple weeks now with a bunch of my friends. And you know, I mean, the last thing I want to make, we're going to jump off the air here real quick, is if Ohio State runs the table and doesn't get in, I am going to be absolutely stunned.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at
Me
that.
Too. Me too.
I'm with you. I would think it almost certainly has to be. All right. Well, that brings us to the top of our hour, and Ben, it flew by again. So We'd like to thank our sponsor, www.south-beach-shopping.com, South Beach Shopping, as well as my partners, Terry House and the Goon, Keith Conlon, for their great insight. We'd like to remind our listeners we'll be back next Tuesday night, November 18th at 7 p.m., to talk about last weekend's game as well as the upcoming week. You can listen to our podcast at any time at www.blogtalkradio.com/. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show.